Good morning and welcome to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. Really glad to have everybody tuned in this morning. And Jamie's with me here. Jamie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Gary. Good morning.
Good morning. So we got another radio show to do.
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, and I think we have a special guest. Well, I know we do because she's sitting right here in the room. So,
but
we're
going to
keep her a secret for here a little bit because we're going to kind of tell people about our website and all that kind of stuff. Since you're in marketing, Jamie, I think you need to do that.
Okay, great. Right. I would love to.
Okay.
So please visit our website at davefox.com. We have tons of pictures on our photo gallery on there. You can even click through to view full projects, see the before and after plans, renderings, and even the budget range for that project. And, you know, we always try and provide a lot of information on our website as far as our process goes, but also budget expectations and things like that, timeline. Of course, those are the two biggest questions people have going into a
remodel.
Yeah,
we want to put the info there that people want to know, right?
Yeah.
Not a bunch of stuff that, oh, wow, I want to get to the stuff I really want to know. No, we put that right out there.
I know. It is always interesting, though. That is like this initial consumer thought that they see those budget ranges, especially, or even the timelines. They say, not my project.
Yeah.
My project won't cost that much.
Mine's going to go
very
a lot quicker
minor.
Than that.
Yeah.
sorry, folks. It's the real numbers.
Yes. And but also, of course, our radio show is on there as well, or you can just go to davefoxradio.com and see all of our previously recorded broadcasts. And then, of course, find us on podcast platforms.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So today we have a special guest. And Jamie, you get to introduce this guest.
Yeah. So we have Brenda Ruff here, who
Hi,
Brenda.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Brenda, you wear a lot of hats, and honestly, I'm not sure, you know, how production would function without you, but you're a big part of kind of what happens in the production and getting things, our projects through from sold project into construction. You're kind of that piece in between, would you say?
You could say that, yeah. I do my best. Yes, when a project is sold, I take that job, and we have a front end, what we call a front end meeting, which is really a download meeting, and I get all the information from the designer and the sales consultant, and whatever needs to be done to start that job, I put it in place.
Yeah.
So this is after the job's gone through design. They've, you know, this is a lot of process and time going here, planning, designing, presenting the project, the design consultant, and the interior designer. And then once all that's done, the client finally approves, signs all the paperwork, and we start mobilizing, right? And get ready to build that thing, right, Brenda?
That's a good way to put it, Gary, mobilizing, I'm very behind the scenes. I don't meet with any clients, very rarely, actually, but I just am like that duck on the pond that, very calm and collected on the surface, but underneath the
feet are moving,
paddling,
their
feet like
are paddling away, trying to make it to its destination.
Yeah.
Okay, you are very behind the scenes from our client's point of view, but from production department view, you are like, you're the den mother of all these kids running around. Do you feel like these people are your kids?
You know, having been a mother myself to three children, I see it that has really helped me in this position because I know how many different personalities there are, I mean, that can be in a family. And now that I've got 30-plus production staff members and all their different personalities and idiosyncrasies,
Well, and people retain information differently, too. So you kind of have to adapt to that of when you're downloading someone on what the project's going to be or what's needed for the project. Some people are visual. Some people are audio. You know, everyone retains things differently, too. So that's a lot to manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get to know their strengths and weaknesses, and you just adapt.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that front end meeting is really important because now all of the stuff that's happened outside of the production department is now presented to production. And so, you know, you're really facilitating a lot of the things production does in the permits, getting jobs ready. So that front end meeting is important. It's just like that download of information. Now the production team is getting the info on this huge project. So it's going to take place.
Yeah. And, you know, at this time, at this point, at the front end meeting, we come to find out, you know, does this job need any approvals from homeowners associations? Does this, is this an addition that's going to need a zoning approval? Is this a job that's going to need a building permit or just mechanical permits? You know, we determine all of that and put that into play. We need all of those things before a job can start. And sometimes that's a lengthy process, but we try to expedite it as quickly as possible.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because some people, I think, A, don't realize that that's a part of our service, that we handle all of the permitting process and everything that goes into that. And then on the flip side, I think people don't realize how much of a service that is. Mm-hmm. You know, having, if they've never had to go through it and figure it all out and submit all the paperwork and the back and forth with the municipalities, you don't realize how much of a service that actually is unless you've had to do it yourself and try and figure it out yourself. But that's a big part of the service that we offer as a design build firm, is not only the designing and not only the building, but everything that happens in between. Mm-hmm. And that's such a big, crucial part of the project and how it's going to run. But yeah, the variances, I mean, variances are something that's a part of our kind of regular day-to-day, but can be very intimidating to a client or, you know, someone that thinks they can't color outside the lines, so to speak, on maybe their project or encroaching on an easement or whatever it might be. But so do you typically go to any of the like design review board meetings, or is that just the design consultant? How does that work?
The design consultant does go, the design consultant being the salesperson. I usually attend with them just because I'm a little more familiar with the staff of the zoning departments and the building departments. So I have, you know, if I go to these things regularly, I learn what's expected and,
yeah,
and how to answer and what yeah. they're looking for.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a big part of it, too, is just having that those relationships and the rapport with the municipalities and knowing who to call for what questions and things like that. It's an asset, really.
Yeah, especially in these days where things don't get simpler. They get more complicated, right? I mean, I haven't come out of a zoning meeting finding all these things they took off because it's not necessary. No, it's all things that they add.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And each municipality is different. There's not a standard across the board requirement. It's every jurisdiction has their own standards mm-hmm. and their own code.
Yeah, well, and you might be in one city that has a municipality and rules that's in a township that has even more unique, you know, rules and regulations, and then an HOA that has even more unique rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. And so trying to, and sometimes there's some overlap there of maybe contradictory information, and I wish there was someone in your position that could be my liaison for figuring out Instagram and Facebook and Google's algorithms. That would be really...
Don't look at me for that.
That would really be great if someone could figure out all the algorithms and see how they all play together for me. But with the permitting process, it's knowing, even just the knowing of the people and having that relationship is invaluable.
Yeah, there, you know, anytime you have a lot of rules and regulations, there's going to be ambiguity there, and there's going to be different ways of interpreting it. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges we face is when we do a job, we might fail an electrical inspection or a plumbing inspection. Well, that job, we're not going to leave it unsafe. You know, it's good. Somebody comes in and looks at it from a different point of view, and they've got the authority to say, no, I want to do it this way or that way. And we just have to kind of bend and go with it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show while Jamie's trying to get her timer started. Did you get
it,
Jamie?
Got it.
So we can start your show now?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is segment 2, which now we can finally start since Jamie's got her stuff done.
Yes, okay. Ready.
And we are talking to Brenda from the production team.
Yeah.
The whole production team centers around her, right? You're like this hub in the middle of the wheel, Brenda. But she says, no, she's the person that's way in the background.
Yeah.
But we don't believe that, do we, Jamie?
No, not for a second. Yeah. And Brenda, you've been with us a pretty long time now. How long have you been here?
I'm in my 11th year.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Started out as production assistant and then became the project coordinator. And here I am.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And you actually came from a background of kind of working with production for construction industry, right?
Well, yeah, actually if you want to go way back, I have a degree in interior design. I worked commercially for an architect, a couple architects over time. Then when I quit work to stay home and raise my kids, did that for 17 years, came back and worked for a small construction company. Did that for a number of years, and that's really where I wore all the hats. I mean, did bookkeeping and estimating, you know, just,
yeah,
I mean, a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's those small jobs, those where you really learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Small companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then behold, this opportunity came up here at Dave Fox, and I've never looked back.
There you go. Good. So, you know, with the kind of building and zoning regulations and talking about that front end meeting, and once you've been kind of downloaded on the project and you have all the information you need, what's your next step? Like, where do you start? Do you start with the HOA? Do you start with the city? Zoning?
Yeah.
What's kind of process?
Yeah. If the job requires an HOA approval, and that is typically when anything is being done to the exterior of the house. If you're changing your siding, changing the roof, changing colors, you know, it depends on what your HOA is requiring. Some are very strict.
Yeah.
And some are a little more lenient as to what you are capable of doing. But you have to look into those requirements and see what your HOA is looking for. So once that is approved, we submit photos, drawings, samples, anything that they require. It usually takes, they're given 30 days to approve it. Usually it doesn't take that long, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
So once we have that approval, then we can go on to the next step, which would be a zoning approval if this project is exceeding the limits of the existing foundation. If you're adding on to a house, if you're putting an outbuilding onto your property, anything that requires, you know, additional foundation work requires a zoning permit.
Okay.
And once that is approved, then we can get the building permit.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I mean, is there circumstances where things kind of contradict each other?
Well, you know, there are cases when you don't need a building permit, but you need a zoning permit.
Huh.
If you were to build, according to the 2019 Residential Code of Ohio, anything under 200 square feet standalone does not need a building permit. But if you're putting that standalone structure on your lot, you do need a zoning permit.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it can get very confusing, and that's why you really should work. I mean, if you're going to tackle this yourself, you really should work closely with your local building authority.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also, I think there's a rule about like how much drywall even you're disrupting, right?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
again, according to the 2019 Residential Code of Ohio, which is, oh gosh, a book about 4 or 5 inches thick that tells you everything that you can and can't do. And
yeah.
that's the current Bible of the building, residential building industry in Ohio. There's really very little that can be done without a permit, according to the 2019 RCO. But again, it's up to the individual building departments. Mm-hmm. City of Columbus, since they review so many permits, they have adapted a standard. If we're removing under 32 square feet of drywall, then you don't need a building permit.
Okay.
But that's only in City of Columbus.
Yeah.
So other different other places are different.
Oh, that's a lot to track.
It is.
Yeah, so 32 feet, 4x8 sheet, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's less than that, go for it. If it's more than that, get a permit.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I don't want people to think getting a permit is a big hassle. I don't want people to have that misconception, because really, it's for your own safety.
Yeah.
It ensures that the construction is abiding by the residential code that has been adopted by the state of Ohio to ensure your safety, and it prevents shoddy work.
Yeah.
If you don't pull a permit for a job that needs permitting, you could face fines. You could be shut down by the city building department,
mm-hmm.
A cease work order if you are found to not have a permit.
Yeah.
It also means that if you should have a casualty regarding that project, if there's ever an electrical fire or anything, and it was discovered that you didn't pull a permit, your homeowner's insurance has the right not to cover that.
Mm.
So it is important that you play by the rules.
Yeah. Rules are always there for a reason, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, years ago, I was in business in a small town north of here, which I'll remain will remain unnamed. But there was no, at that time, there were no permits or inspections. There was for commercial work, but not residential. So I did visit a number of jobs where things were really done incorrectly and structural work that was not done right. So, I mean, things can run rampant if nobody's overseeing and watching. Now, the contractors in that town didn't want any permits because to them it seemed like a big foreboding thing that was going to be terrible. And they would always argue that, you know, we're good contractors and we can't stay in business if we don't do work right and stuff. And they were successful for quite a while, really. But I think, you know, being here in Columbus, you know, I moved into a completely different atmosphere because, you know, everything was permitted, mm-hmm. and has been for many, many years. And you find out that it's a process and anybody can go through it, and people are people and they're real. And you just, you know, cross the T's, dot the I's, get the paperwork done.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we've got somebody like you, Brenda, that can do that for us.
Yeah.
Well, in your outlying areas, still there, you aren't required to have residential building permits. You mm-hmm. know, if you are on acreage, and but you know, when you get close to the city, where everybody's in a neighborhood that is probably 12 feet away from each other, each house is,
yeah.
you know, so yep. it's important to yep. have that.
It is. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas. Really glad everybody's tuned in for segment 3. In case you missed the first two segments, you can always go to davefoxradio.com because there we have all of our previously broadcast shows, right, Jamie? And there's a lot of them.
There are a lot.
Yeah. What subjects do we have on there?
Oh gosh, really anything to do with the home. I mean, home maintenance tips. We have a lot of design, kind of mm-hmm. digging deep into design ideas and do's and don'ts and things like that for kitchens and bathrooms, basements, yeah. room additions. We dive deep into the process a lot too of remodeling, not just with a design build firm, but in general. And we, of course, like to bring a lot of our team members on the show as well, yep. and just kind of give some insight into the industry itself. And of course, always bringing back recognition to the tour aids industry and trying to reinforce that message that it's a great industry.
It is. It is. It's fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we're talking with Brenda.
Yeah.
And Brenda, how would you describe your role here?
Boy, you know, people ask me what I do here,
yeah.
and it's so okay. hard to be
concise. All right. Brenda, what do you do here?
All right. It is. It's so hard to be concise with an answer. And in fact, one time I was describing to somebody what I do, and he said, so basically everything that nobody else wants to do.
Oh.
And I thought, well, not true, because no. I enjoy what I do. And in a nutshell, I just do whatever it takes to get the job done, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's wherever I'm needed.
Yeah, but, and a production department. I mean, I can just imagine all the different scenarios you probably find yourself in.
Yeah.
Well, it's never a dull moment.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
I know. Even that crazy marketing person puts weird things on her.
Oh, that does she really?
Like clothing, getting the guys their attire and yard sign schedules.
Yeah, what's it like keeping everybody dressed in decent clothing here, Brenda? Is that a challenge?
Well, I think we need to explain that a little bit further.
Yeah, go ahead.
Everyone is always dressed here, Gary. Okay.
But yes, I am tasked with making sure everyone is wearing the proper Dave Fox attire and that it looks decent.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to keep these black shirts clean and... you know, when you're working with sawdust,
caulk
and paint
does not come out very well.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
And paint. And
yeah, I know it is a constant. It's definitely a constant. But Brenda's the perfect person. No, but seriously. So back to kind of zoning and permitting and all those sorts of things. Recently, there was a meeting that took place about new codes that were coming out and things like that. Do you want to talk about that a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah, we had a really, I love this meeting. It's an annual meeting we have with the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI, and the Central Ohio Code Officials Association. And I am the current representative, NARI representative to the CoCoA board. So we coordinated a...
And what's CoCoA?
Central Ohio Code Officials Association.
Sure. Rolls right off the tongue. Got it.
So we had a panel discussion a couple weeks ago. We could have gone on all day, I think, but it enabled contractors to ask the building officials, who were our panel. We were able to ask various questions and get certain issues cleared up. You know, like Gary said earlier, there's different interpretations of the code, and this was a great representative of six building officials around Central Ohio, and we could discuss various codes and hear what they had to say, what their interpretations were. But yes, there were some changes in the requirements, especially in the NEC, the National Electric Code. Did you want me to talk about that, Jeannie?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty, we talked about it recently and even just our manager's meeting, but that's a pretty big change that's going to really impact a lot of things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You should share that.
It's basically a removal of a requirement in the electric code. It used to be that... a receptacle was required based on the amount of square footage in along a countertop, whether that be a kitchen or bathroom or bar or, you know.
Yeah.
But they've removed that requirement. And you no longer need to have an outlet or a receptacle in an island or peninsula, whereas it used to be you had to.
Right. Which it always got a little tricky too with the trend of like the waterfall edge and things like that. And so, yeah, I mean, almost probably if you're standing in your kitchen right now listening to this and you look at, depending on when your home was built, if you're looking at the side, it's one of the sides of your islands or somewhere on your island, there's an outlet.
Yeah, it really is a convenience to have that outlet there.
It is very convenient.
But there was, this was brought about by the NFPA, the Fire Protection Agency, that it was determined that there were so many accidents involving children being burned by catching an arm or a limb on that cord that was dangling down.
Yeah.
That they decided to remove this requirement because it was actually harming people.
You know, I always used to tell people, and I heard this, that the reason we were required to put outlets in an island was so that you didn't have an extension cord hanging from the wall across to the island.
Yeah.
Which made sense. But now it's like, now if that cord is on the island and accessible by a child, that can cause trouble too. So I'm not sure really which is more safe or not.
But, well, it doesn't mean you can't have the outlet on the island or peninsula. It just means it now has to be surface mounted or in a pop-up style device.
Yeah.
No longer can it be under the countertop.
Oh, under the countertop, or even on the ends of the island, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the reasoning behind that is that the cord would be up on the island top and not dangling down.
Correct. Yeah, in a child's reach.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Child or a dog, you know, with a long tail.
Yeah. I have one of those. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, even, you know, after we talked about this code, I was thinking about the fact that, usually when I use my air fryer, I use it on the island and I plug it in right in that main walkway of our house. And you could very easily snag that and things like that. And it's so interesting because, you know, we as mothers, as parents, as individuals think that we're being safe, right? No one goes into things with ill intent of being unsafe. But it does make you stop and realize, like, gosh, it is possible. You know, it's possible. And I guess if it's happened enough times that they feel like that's a worthy cause to change the entire code, I mean, it's obviously something to consider. Ever since we had this meeting that we talked about this code, I now plug my air fryer in and a different outlet.
I do.
It's not wrong, you know?
Well, there is one caveat to this, Jamie, in that if you decide not to have an outlet at all in your island or peninsula, you need to make provision that one can be added in the future. So you need to provide
to
a junction
wired.
Box within the cabinet itself.
So how does that, I mean, I would think that that has an impact with like ADA. You know, if someone was in a wheelchair, for example, to be able to reach an outlet on the side of an island would be pretty easy for that individual. But to reach one on top of a counter or even on the back of the wall is pretty challenging. I wonder how that kind of factors in.
Yeah, I think there was some pushback from the ADA people. I don't know. Don't know what
I think you should just call them and find out. And let's get to the bottom of this.
Well, I think with any change, it takes a little bit to filter out all the kinks, you know? And this is a new change and probably just needs some things filtered out.
Okay. So you guys listen to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where we're here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and we're on podcasts all over the world, right, Jamie?
That's right.
Okay. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back for segment 4 in just a minute. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. Glad to have you tuning back in for segment 4. Here it's our final segment, Jamie, today.
Yeah.
So we've got our guest, Brenda, talking with us about production and permitting, zoning, HOAs, outlets.
And of course, the new code change for the outlets. Code
changes.
That's a big one.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
I know. And it's interesting, too, talking about those outlets, because obviously we're making kitchen designs every single day, right? That's what we do. We're putting outlets in every single day in kitchens. And so it's a tough thing to figure out when that shift, you know, happens. And I think it was at a certain date, permits pulled after that date require that shift, but it's going to be real gray for a little while.
Well, you know, when all the smoke detectors became an issue, which is a lot of years ago, we've been through so many revisions of how that code is applied, right, Brenda? I mean, for a while you had to put them all over the place then you had to use specific types, and then they backed off, and I mean, that thing
has
been
hardwired or I think it happens that they, you know, they'll go in and enforce something, and then they'll realize, yeah, maybe that was a little
too far the other direction.
But there, you know, also you're talking about receptacles. I also had a plans examiner tell me that now, according to the 2023 NEC, that now all receptacles are going to need to be GFCI, ground fault protected.
Everywhere, not just in a bathroom. Wow.
So, you know, that could be a big change.
I know. And sometimes it gets really interesting, too, because sometimes once you open a certain amount of wall or whatever the extent is, you need to also bring things up to code.
Exactly.
And that gets real tricky, too. And can be, I remember specifically with the smoke detectors, like I think Upper Arlington maybe had really specific rules on that. So, like, once we started remodeling a kitchen, we had to update the smoke detectors for the whole house. And
yeah,
it gets pretty involved.
It's funny you bring that up, Jamie, because we just had a situation where we're working on a old house in a neighborhood that has very close proximity to its neighbor, less than 5 feet to the property line. We didn't add on to the building. We just took out some drywall and did a little framing inside, and now we're required to make that wall where we remove the drywall, make that fire rated assembly.
Oh, because that's adjacent to the
because
property
it's
next
close
door?
Within yeah. five okay. feet of the property line.
Wow.
You know, it's yes. So when you are working on in an area that is not up to code, you do need to bring that area up to code.
Yeah.
You know, there's so few homes that we work on with that scenario, aren't there?
I mean, they're up
next to another house.
And you know, Gary, I've always said the way to learn the building code is to violate it. And really, that is how we learn these rules. Is when we get caught, you know, when we get turned down in an inspection because something wasn't done properly.
Yeah, I mean, and we've had 40-some years of learning.
We have.
More than that,
and
if you add up all the
honestly,
work of all the people.
I'm proud to say we get turned down very rarely anymore because we've learned.
Yeah.
But, you know, as these new changes in the code evolve, that's usually how we learn them is by
violating. So how does that work, though? So like the outlet in an island example, let's say, if you didn't need to get a permit, you do you still have to follow the code?
Well, typically you wouldn't need a building permit, but you would need an electrical permit. You would need a mechanical permit.
Okay.
So building permit typically covers structure. In some jurisdictions, it is a blanket permit that covers everything.
Okay.
If you don't need a building permit, but you're doing electrical and plumbing and other mechanical work, you would need to pull a separate permit for those areas.
This sounds fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
so really,
like
you can't put a single outlet in your home without a permit, technically.
Theoretically, not.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Okay. And now it also has to be GFCI.
So GFCI, because that's a sensor that detects any electricity running through the ground wire, which could be you being shocked, right? And some appliances will trigger those without you being shocked. They're getting better and better, but I know when those GFCIs first came out, they were being tripped all the time, and it was really an annoyance.
Yeah.
But then appliance manufacturers, toasters and all that kind of stuff started getting to where they weren't tripping them all the time. But they still do trip, and nobody's getting shocked. So if we're doing the whole house with those, I mean, people are going to find themselves, why isn't this electricity working? And they go look at the panel box and, all the breakers are on. Well, there might be a GFCI outlet somewhere that tripped individually. And they're going to have to find that thing and push the reset button.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully it has a little light on it or something. That's like the smoke detectors. Why beep? Can't you flash a light? Why do you beep at 3 a.m? Why?
It's always in the morning.
Well, it's always
the way
night.
You're no, made aware is whatever you plug in doesn't work. That's yeah, how you know.
I guess. But there's probably several outlets on, or is each outlet individually
well,
in a trip?
Well, you can do it two ways. You could have a breaker, GFCI breaker, that feeds several outlets. Mm-hmm. So that's in your panel box. And yeah, that would trip in that scenario. Or you could have a circuit running up to a bathroom and you put a GFCI outlet in there and feed other outlets off of that one. Mm. Where in that case, you wouldn't have a breaker in a panel box. It would be that single outlet that's feeding others that would need to be reset.
Yeah. Gosh, I can see us in the future getting some warranty calls. My outlet stopped working.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. But yeah. And, you know, I actually had heard Robbie, one of the electricians that we use, she told me that because I was having an issue with one of ours, our espresso machine always tripped it. And she was saying that once it trips, it's much more likely to trip more often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, once you have one that's tripping a lot by whatever it is you're utilizing it for, a hair dryer or whatever the case,
you'll be replacing that.
You're going to, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what we ended up having to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun stuff. So I guess, were there any other major changes, Brenda?
That's the main one that we are focused on.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's a change to frost wall protection in buildings that are less than 600 square feet. It's now not required anymore. I don't know if that really pertains to our audience. But honestly, your local electrician would know better what else has changed in the NEC. But those are the two that, you know, that we're paying attention to.
I mean, I think that's really good information because, quite frankly, a general consumer, you know, how often do they check building codes and what's the latest and greatest and up to date? And so thank you for coming on and sharing that stuff with us today.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Brenda, thank you for what you do because you do a lot of really important things behind the scenes, like you say, but you're right. You're the main player here in the production team. Oh. So,
yeah.
So, we appreciate, you know, the production team itself is, well, for number one, you got a lot of people here. Well, how many are 50 people or so in the production team?
Gosh, I lost count now.
40 some.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. And then in remodeling, you're running into something unexpected almost every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to pull resources together and figure out how to deal with different issues. And that's just part of running a remodeling business.
Yeah.
It's like Dave Fox used to say, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like the information booth around here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we do appreciate everybody tuning in. If you listen to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, we're here every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. We invite you to visit our website. It's davefox.com. You can also email us info@davefox.com. We'll be back next week.